Come on. That was a great introduction. Thank you so much, Wes. It's a delight to be with you all again. How many people were here when we were here last time? Oh, nearly everybody. Well, very good. But it does feel like home here in Christchurch. I don't know quite the spiritual dynamics that are involved, but when I arrived here, and I know Todd probably feels very similar, when I arrived here, I felt that the land received us. And I know that we are from Adelaide, and Adelaide is known as a sister city to Christchurch, is actually on the ley line. And so we really believe that what happens in Adelaide is happening here, and what happens here is happening in Adelaide. There is something about a dual inheritance that the Lord is releasing between the two cities. Why does he work like that? How does he work? We don't know. Like, we don't know all the answers. But what we do know is what we can sense, what we can feel, and what we can see start to manifest. And that's what we're going to be speaking about over the next 2 days. How many people are excited for what God is going to do over the next couple of days? It's going to be really, really powerful. So I'm going to ask, before we start, I'm going to ask everyone to stand up. And because what we're going to do is we're going to give the Holy Spirit permission. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit has permission to move however he wants here, but does he have permission to move however he wants in our individual lives and hearts today? And that's what we're going to look for. Now, you don't have to pray this. Only pray it if you're ready for transition, because there will be transition. Maybe not for everybody, maybe just 99.9% of people in here, but this is what you are going to have to pray at the beginning of this weekend in order for, I believe, you to get the fullness out of what God wants to release over the next 2 days. So everyone just pray this after me if you want, only if you want to. It could be a dangerous prayer for some people. Say, Holy Spirit, I give you full permission to realign me, readjust me. Sorry. Is she all right? Readjust me and do whatever it is that you need to do to line me up to my divine purpose and mandate in this new era on the earth. Whatever it looks like, whatever it takes, I say yes, have your way in order that I can complete and fulfill all that concerns me. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout. Come on. Come on. Woo! Come on. And some of you guys are like, wow, that's awesome. I'm so glad we prayed that. And some of you guys tomorrow will be like, I can't believe I prayed that. And many of you guys know me, somewhat, and know of Todd and Field of Dreams. And over the years, the Lord had spoken to me specifically. I'm going to talk about me for a few minutes, but hope you're okay with that. A few years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm going to call you as a transition prophet. Now, I had no idea what a transition prophet was. I knew that there was a regular prophet. I knew that there were some other prophets, a warning prophet. But what on earth is a transition prophet? And the Lord spoke to me and I said, so what do you mean? And he said, I will send you people that are in transition and you will help the spirit-led process of transition in people's lives. And in conjunction with that, I will send you to places that are in transition and you will help align them to the word in season in order that they can transition effectively when I'm calling them to move. And this is very, very important. So what would start to happen, actually happened this weekend, but what would start to happen is people would just randomly email me. They would randomly turn up sometimes to the church. Sometimes they would send me messages and say, and this is how it would work. And the Lord would say, and the Lord would always confirm it like this. They would say this, I don't know why I'm contacting you. And that would be, for me, a marker that they were about to transition. Now, a number of times we had experiences where I would sit down with someone and they would say, hey, I just really feel like I'm supposed to talk to you about something. I was like, okay, I really feel, and then I would say, this is the word of the Lord. You're about to move. I remember one time there was a guy that came, we were actually connected to the church, and a guy came along and he said, I don't know what it is, but I just, I feel like you've got something for us. And I said, okay, you're going to move to Northern Queensland. And the guy looked at me and he's like, I don't want to move to Northern Queensland. I'm very happy here. And then I said, yeah, and your job's going to change. And what was really interesting is he got really, really upset with me, really upset. And he was like, call yourself some kind of prophet, you know. And his wife was trying to, like, back him up, you know, and go, oh, I'm so sorry about his reaction. I said, what's going on? And she said, he's just been made the vice principal of the school that he's worked in. And that was his goal job for years and years and years. And he was just given the promotion to take over the role. So I was like, so now I'm prophesying you're going to change jobs and you're going to move to Northern Queensland. So anyway, so it was in a relatively bad mood. And so that was a Sunday. And the following Sunday, I was in the cafe area of our church. And he ran in to the church. I watched him literally kind of bowl his way into the church. And he was nearly full of tears, welling up. And he grabbed me by both arms. And he said, what else do you know? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, what else do you know? And I said, what happened? He goes, I lost my job on Tuesday. And I said, wow, you lost your job on Tuesday. I'm so sorry. And he goes, no, you don't understand. And then I was contacted by a school in Cairns in northern Queensland, and the whole family's moving up to Cairns now. Now, what was... It's good. Praise God that actually happened. And so... So what happened over the time is I started to see that I was blessed for God to be able to use me in a way where when someone was on the cusp of something new happening in their world, God would give me the opportunity to announce it, to prophesy it, but actually also help them with the alignment to what the word of the Lord was and the wisdom of God for that transition. And that started to happen with churches and other things. But most of the time, and I know none of you guys have ever been here before. Now, I love the prophetic ministry. I've been in the prophetic ministry for many years now. I love the prophetic ministry. Now, the problem that I have is that a lot of the time, the prophetic ministry that I get, I give people the word of the Lord. Now, how many of you know, if people are very comfortable and very settled in something and you give them the word of the Lord that things are going to change, how many of you know that they don't necessarily like that word? But does that stop it being the word of the Lord? No, it doesn't. This is very important. So what would happen is that I would give people these words and God would start to speak to me. And I say, God, I'm not sure about this ministry now. Then he'd make me read through Jeremiah, you know. And I would say, I'm not sure about this because every time nearly I'm saying something, it feels like I'm disrupting things. And he said, you're not disrupting things, you're realigning things. And what was really interesting is that this happened time and time again, week in, week out, consistently, all the time. And what I've started to find was that every time I would do this thing, I started to learn more about the heart of the Father. You see, the heart of the Father is that his people would be divinely lined up to exactly, everyone say exactly, exactly what they are required to do in each season. This is very important. And I feel like one of the things that he's doing even now, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but one of the reasons we are here in Christchurch now is because a shift and transition is taking place in the atmosphere and in the natural for many people here. And it's not just going to be for many people, but there's going to be something in the realm of the spirit that changes. And I believe that even the way that people function is going to change as a result of what happens this weekend. Does that mean that it's because Daryl and Todd came. And when they came, you know, they changed everything. We didn't change a thing. God did it. And all we're doing is making an announcement and saying, this is what the Lord is doing. We knew that we were supposed to be here on the 27th of May. And he said, this is what's happening. This is what you're doing. Call what you're doing. We had a chat about the what was happening. And it landed on the title for the weekend, New Times, New Seasons. Now, I believe that this is for, firstly, individuals. That there are new times and new seasons for individuals. That there are new times and new seasons for Christchurch. That there are new times and new seasons for New Zealand. And that there are new times and new seasons for the nations of the earth. I really believe that, especially in the NZ or ANZAC relationship, NZ and Australia. There is something of the new that God is speaking, even right now, about that relationship. And part of this is a partnership. We're here in a new degree of partnership in the realm of the Spirit between the two nations. And that's how we have to work. Apostolic, prophetic. Todd's an apostle. I'm a prophet. Apostolic, prophetic. That's how it works. It's a connection. It's actually introducing a realm of governing and government in the realm of the Spirit that we can all partake of. Everyone say, I'm part of this. It's probably going to happen to me. Now, this happens. Wow. Some of you guys liked that and some of you guys didn't. I have had so many instances. I've said, you're going to move. I'm not going to move. We're moving. And I'm saying that there is going to be a big shift and change for many people in here after this weekend. I'm not just trying to coerce people into that. This isn't the power of suggestion. This is the word of the Lord. And what's going to happen is that the word of the Lord, wisdom is proved right by her children. So let me tell you this right now. We've done an invitation for alignment right now, so do not be surprised if stuff starts to shift. Normally what happens for us, and I'm not prophesying this over your people, so please. But normally what happens is the first sign of transition is people that... So how many people love new doors opening? But how many of you know that it doesn't normally work that way? What normally happens? The doors close first. And so what we've found in 80%, I'm into percentages this morning, what we have found is that much of the time the doors close first because the old tent has to be unpegged before it can be enlarged. And so what God is doing in this season, I believe for many people, is he's going to be doing an unpegging. Now, unpegging is not comfortable. It's not nice sometimes, but it's a necessity in order for us to be enlarged or realigned or recalibrated to be able to operate into the new thing. And how many of you understand that that's a really, really important thing? You know, when you upgrade a computer, you take it to the computer shop, they might open it up and, you know, do whatever. But a lot of the time, they will take the whole operating system out of that machine. And we're going, God, do whatever you want. He goes, okay, let's take that operator. Wait, hold on a second. I said, do whatever you want. I didn't say touch that, or that. And this is, I believe, one of the things that the Lord is doing right now. I know because I can see it being undone even in the spirit as we talk. Great. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, let's talk about transition very quickly and what transition looks like. I know exactly. This is what I was thinking, Nara. I know. Isaiah 42 verse 9, can you put that up for me? And this is what's happening this morning. Oh no, Isaiah 42 verse 9, please. It's all good. Okay, behold the former, let's all read this together. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Interesting. Okay. Now, I've already given you a pre-warning that God is now foretelling. He's actually telling us something that is about to happen. And I know that we get it. We talk about the new thing all the time. We're in a new season under the earth. Oh, it's going to be an amazing time. But we are significantly in a time of transition. I really believe that the bubble that was introduced between Australia and New Zealand is actually a prophetic sign. And I believe that it marks a new season on the earth. Did you know that we're the only nation that has that? Or sorry, the only nations that have that. Do you know any other nation in the world that has that? Not one. Not one has quarantine-free travel bubble on the earth. I was speaking to my brother last week, my uncle, my half-uncle, it doesn't matter. Blended families. We've got a half-brother, a half-uncle, someone else who calls himself something, and I don't know what it is. I'm just being silly. But I was speaking to my half-uncle this week, and he said, I can't wait to get back. He grew up in Italy. He said, I can't wait to get back to Italy. I said, you can't travel. He goes, no. Now he's in the UK. And I'm like, but that's just a hop, skip, and a jump. You could probably row yourself over there if you tried, you know. But there has been so much restriction and so much lockdown that one of the things I feel like God wants to do, and I'm going to talk about that in 1 second, is he wants us to be able to discern what he is doing in both New Zealand and Australia and the islands in this season. Because I feel like when we start to see it, we'll start to see that we are becoming a prototype for what he wants to do all over the earth. And I know that sounds like a very big statement, but why not? Why can't we say what we believe is true? And I'm not saying that God isn't moving in every other nation and there's not revival in other places and things are happening, but I really believe, and as many of you guys do, that we are in the place where God... This is good. Yeah, this is good. I haven't even finished the sentence, but it is good. She's a real prophet, that one. And but we are in the place where he's inviting us into a place of an administration of his kingdom that is going to blow the world away. And I'm not talking about, I really, exactly. Okay. So what is transition? Now I'm going to give you just a definition of transition. Very simple. It's the process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. This is very interesting. Now you go, yeah, come on, transition. Who wants transition? Yeah. But this is actually what it is. It means that you are in a process or a period. You're basically in a process of changing from one form into another form, into another state. And when you get born again, you know, we're Kairos, new creations in Christ. So we, you know, we become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Talks about in Isaiah, you don't need to put this up, but in Isaiah 43, verse 18, excuse me, it says, forget the former things, behold, do not meditate on the old. Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. Do not meditate on the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. It springs up all around. Do you not perceive it? Now we look at that and we go, come on, that's the word of the Lord. That's actually quite a big statement. Because we're going, come on. And then God says, okay, let's move on that then. And you're like, hold on a second. What are we doing right now? And he's going, okay, we're moving into that transition. Behold, I'm doing something new and I need you to perceive it. The word perceive is the word yada, which means to have an intimate knowledge in the Hebraic language, and an intimate knowledge, literally an intimate knowledge of what God is doing. You know, when it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Again, the word acknowledge is the word yada. So you've got this intimate knowledge of what God is doing. In all your ways, have an intimate knowledge of who God is, and he will make your path straight. And I want to tell you right now that this is so interesting, because when we look at scriptures like that, we have to understand that that was speaking of a new covenant reality. Because we look at it and we go, yeah, yeah, that's, and it's a great prophetic scripture. But Isaiah was prophesying about the new covenant, as well as other things. It's layered. Everyone say layered. Forget the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. It springs up all around. Will you not know it? And Isaiah was continually prophesying about what was to come. And so what's really interesting is we go all the way through Scripture and we see Jesus spoken about consistently, the new covenant spoken about, and we understand that when God does a shift, he does a real shift. How many people would love to be under the Mosaic covenant right now? No, you would not like to be under that. Why? Because the covenant, it says actually that the Mosaic covenant is now obsolete or was obsolete. What does obsolete mean? It means it's done, dead, finished, done, see you later. What does that mean? It means that there was a transition from one state into another state. This is very important. We have to catch this. So when God transitions something and he says, behold, I do a new thing, it means that for much of the time, he makes the old thing redundant. So this is really interesting. How many people can shout out something on the earth, in the world, that's transitioned? Like, what was a big transition in history? Just shout something out. What was it? Cassettes to DVD. Was that a big transition? I don't think it was, but I think it was a relatively big transition. I'm thinking of other things. There are other things. Come on. The Berlin Wall, the fall of the Berlin Wall, that was a big transition, I guess. Yeah, it really affected people. I'm not saying that cassettes wasn't, sir. I'm just saying we could probably go a tiny bit bigger than that, but please don't receive that as a rebuke today. That was on my list. You get 10 out of 10 for that one. Okay, I do have a list. Come on. Vehicles, what else? Racism. Okay, racism, big transition. Okay, yes, yeah, okay. Apartheid. Yeah, absolutely. What else? Electricity, good one. Come on. I'm not like the historian here. My dad was, but that doesn't mean anything. What else? Internet. There we go. Come on. Okay. The internet, the information age. That is one of the biggest transitions that there has been in the world. And this is really interesting. People still got some things you want to shout out. We can do it afterwards. You can shout them out later. But this is really interesting. Now, I grew up in a place called Ballycastle. Now, I don't know if I told you about Ballycastle or Ballymoney. I was born in a place called Ballymoney, which means, who knows what the word Bally means in Ireland? I was born in Ireland. What does the word Bally mean? It means town. Oh, great. Someone got that. Awesome. Okay. So Bally means town. So if I was born in Ballymoney, what does that mean? It was the town of the money. Come on, show me the money. Now, the funny thing is that there wasn't very much money there, but the reason it was called Ballymoney was because all of the cattle was sold there. So it was actually Cowtown. So I was born in Cowtown, but don't tell anyone that. But what's really interesting, it was called Ballymoney because it was a town with the money. Now, just up the road from Ballymoney, about 7 miles up the road, which is about, oh, you do miles or K's? K's. Miles is fine. 7 miles up the road was a place called Ballycastle. Now, I'm going to give you one guess at why it was called Ballycastle. It was a town with a castle in it. Come on. This is sharp this morning. Everyone's had loads of coffee. So, Ballycastle. Now, next to Ballycastle, there was a place called Rathlin Island. You can say Rathlin. Go on, say it. Just Rathlin. And Rathlin, oh, that was good. That was a good Rathlin over there. And so, Rathlin Island is an island that is more significant in your life than you could possibly imagine. But you don't know that. How many people have ever heard of Rathlin Island? No. Wow. Okay, cool. Rathlin Island, who's ever heard of someone called Marconi? What did Marconi do? Invented the radio. Marconi lived on Rathlin Island, which was 2 miles off the coast of Ballycastle, and the first ever radio transmission was sent from Rathlin Island to Ballycastle. So, this is really interesting, isn't it? So this is a little bit of history. We have had some major transitions in history. I love some of the things that you guys called out. Absolutely awesome. Berlin Wall, apartheid transition, all of those major transitions, radio, automobile. But what's really interesting is the world changed after those transitions. The world changed after the invention of radio. Massively. Why? Let me tell you why. Oh, I'm going to tell you why. Because news was able to be broadcast. It didn't take time anymore. So what radio did was it took away lag time from news and events. And it was actually based on Morse code as well. How many of you know what Morse code was? Do you think Morse code was useful at any point in history? Absolutely. So I can still do SOS. It's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's SOS. Did you know that? Who knew that? Come on. Oh, you all knew that. Forget it. I only know that because my granddad was in the army. Now, so what's really interesting is we've got then these major transitions where everything in the world changed. Now, we've talked about this so much, and you know, people are, and Wes and Janet are so on the same page, and I know that all of you guys are on the same page, but we understand that last year, in 2020, it was a major transition in the world. Now, it's really interesting. There have been major transitions in the world, and sometimes, some transitions, people are great at recognizing the transition. Behold, I do a new thing, it springs up all around, do you not know it, kind of thing. So they can recognize the transition. So they go, wow, okay, something happened. First of all, I was on a horse and now I'm in a car. That's a big transition. So that makes sense that I don't have to clean up the poo. Like, there's many different things that are good about being in a car, but this is a big transition. And sometimes things transition gradually and sometimes they don't transition gradually, they transition wha-bam. Now, in March or February, last year in 2020, we had a wha-bam transition. We had a transition on the earth which was more significant than anything, nearly, that had ever happened. Because what it did was it stopped something. This had never happened before, apart from in countries of massive dictatorship. We had a lockdown of free movement. You go, oh, yeah, no, but you don't understand. They've been doing that for years. No, they haven't. Hasn't happened at all. Even in my grandmother, before she passed, told me, even in World War II, there wasn't a lockdown. Even in World War II, and she grew up, her maiden name was Petriovsky, she was Polish, she changed to Pedersdorf when she moved to Germany. She lived in Germany and then she moved to the UK as a German citizen. I'm sure that was fun during the war. But what happened was, are you a spy? No, are you sure? Yes, okay. And so what happened was, that she was talking to me and saying, and she said this, and she'd been around for many years, and I know that many of you guys have relatives that have been involved in wars and been around for a while. And she said to me, I've never seen anything like this. And she had been around for a long, long time. So we understand then that there was a major transition. I know I'm telling you stuff you already know. Now, when we understand that there's a major transition, we all also understand that our posture requires a new posture. This is good. These girls are great at the back. We are required to stand in a new posture as a result of a new season on the earth. We have to do it. Now, the funny thing is this, that we're hearing people preach a lot about the new season and the new posture. But what's happening is that I believe that numbers of people are struggling with the true transition and truly what that looks like. And this is why I feel like we're talking about, for the introduction of new times, new seasons, we're going to be talking about some crazy spiritual dynamics over the next little while. But why I think that this is really, really important, I'm going to tell you one more story and then we're going to just land into some super prophetic stuff. Okay, so many years ago, my mother moved me to a place called London. Who's ever heard of London before? Okay, good. Okay, awesome. Great. And so I lived in a place called Ipswich. Now, Ipswich was 50 miles east of London. It was still very big town, like really quite dynamic because it was so close to London. But I moved to London with my mother. Now, when she moved me there, we were a single parent family and she got a new job. And as we moved over, we moved into London. And I had to settle into a new school. It was a little bit rougher than where I was. But I had a very strong company of friends that were still in Ipswich. And so what would happen is I would go to school during the week. And at the weekend, I would go back on the train to Ipswich. And I would go and hang out with my friends. And then my mum would say, oh, you went back to Ipswich again this weekend? I said, oh, yeah, I was just hanging out with my friends. And then what happened is that I would then go back to London for my school time, try to deal with all the gangs there, then get beaten up or whatever, and then go back down to Ipswich for the weekend. And it was quite a tough time in my life. It's the only child, new season, new city, right in the heart of the city. And if you weren't in a gang, it was a really big deal. So anyway, so the whole point is that I was doing this, and I was about 14, and I was going up and back, and I've been in London a lot, but I was going back every weekend. And what happened was one time I went to London. And I was hanging out with a group of people that weren't very nice, and some stuff happened. And what happened was that I ended up getting on a train going back to Ipswich, but I never went back to London again to live for 2 years. I didn't go back. I went back for the weekend, and my mum was she was just doing what she did, and she rang me and said, "Where are you?" I said, "No, I'm not going back there. I'm just going to live here now." So I left home. So as you do. Now, I had a grandmother that lived there, and I just said, I'm going to move in with you. Is that okay? She's like, yeah, sure. And so what happened is I ended up going back to Ipswich, and I didn't go back to London in that period. I didn't even get on a train to go back there for 1 year. And then from there, I was then sent to Northern Ireland to go and live with my father. It's really interesting. Now, how many of you know that my life, when my mum moved me to London, to Islington, to Angel Islington, I lived in Angel. How many of you know when I moved to Angel the first time, and now I lived in London numbers of times after that, but how many of you know when I first moved there to Angel that my life had transitioned? I had actually completely transitioned. But how many of you know that I hadn't allowed my heart to go with the flow of the true heart transition that had happened in my life? How do you know that? Because my default of comfort always took me back to Ipswich every weekend. And then when things got a bit tough over here, I was like, okay, I'm going back to Ipswich now. And I was in a place where I was familiar. I was in a place where I was comfortable. And I made a decision in my heart that time that when I went back, I said this, I'm not going back again. Now, what happened was that I had actually framed up a whole world where I didn't go back for a couple of years. And then when I did transition back, I ended up then moving and living in London for a long, long period because that's just what happened. So what happened was this, that I started to, when I was praying into Christchurch, God gave me, and New Zealand and this season, God gave me this example when I was praying. And he was speaking to me about realms of comfort that we know we've got them, Like we've all got, you know, everyone's got something, you know, your place of comfort. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can't go with the flow if any part of your heart is still connected to the old season. And how many of you know that I would have built new relationships well in London when I was 14? I would have built not just new relationships, but I would have done well in my schooling. Well, maybe. I would have done the things that I needed to do because there had been an ordained from my mother transition for my life, but yet I refused to yield and submit to the submission that my mother had put over our family. You see, there has been a transition, and the Father, our Father in heaven, has brought us in, has announced to us a new way, a new living way for us to operate in this new era on the earth. And I believe that one of the things that the Lord is speaking now, today, on the 29th of May, 2021, is will you let your heart fully cross over? Because we're going to be talking about this in a minute. You see, when we teach, I'm not coming with wise, eloquent, persuasive words here. There is going to be something of the Spirit moving in people's hearts today. And what's going to happen is that you know who your Lord is. And what's happened is you've already given him permission to start to talk to you, start to move on particular places in particular ways in your heart. And what's happening is that he's asking you to let go. He's asking some of us, wow, that is for someone right there, isn't it? That was for you, wasn't it? I know it was. He's asking some of us to let go in order that we can embrace the new. Now, this is really cool. In the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, we have a beautiful passage of scripture. And it talks, chapter 16, verse 9. And Todd knows this scripture very well. And so it says this, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro on the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are, it says loyal to him there. In the New American Standard, it says completely his. Now, this is really interesting because we're talking a lot of shakarababa. We're going to take the nations. Where's taking the nations? Come on. Shabarababa. Come on. Now, how many of you know to take the nations, you need to be empowered? You need full support from heaven. And the Lord is saying in this season right now, he's saying, my eyes, the eyes of the Lord, what are the eyes of the Lord? They are the sevenfold Spirit of God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, the spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, might, fear of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, running to and fro throughout the whole earth, literally on, to show themselves, to empower those whose hearts are fully his. You see, in this season, you can't get a half empowerment. You will get a sustaining grace in this season, and that grace has a use-by period. Because the sustaining grace will be God will talk to you, he'll talk to you, he'll talk to you, he'll talk to you. Grace, 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 talk to you. I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not saved under grace. I'm saying that the Lord will gently start to stop the frequency of the words that you need to hear about transition because disobedience is not allowing you to transition the way you need to in order to occupy the fullness of the destiny that he predestined for you to walk out, for us to walk out in the new era on the earth right now. You see, we are born for such a time as this. We quote it. I'm born for such a time as this. And then I feel like the Lord is going, but do you want to know what this is? Born for such a time. Do you want to know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? Because when we start to learn what time it is, we start to learn, and this is quite a militant statement now, we start to learn that there is no room for double-mindedness in this season. There is no room for double-mindedness. There is no room in this season to be half-hearted about anything. Because if you are half-hearted, your heart isn't fully his in the transition, and you cannot be empowered to fulfill what you're supposed to do. This is the word of the Lord. So today what the Lord is saying is he's saying discerning the seasons and times isn't enough. Because we can all discern the season and time to an extent. It's what we do with what we see, what we hear, and what we understand which matters. It says that the sons of Issachar knew the seasons and times under heaven of what Israel should do. So there was a practical application. The discernment was here, and then there was a practical application that was then administrated through what was being discerned. And this is really, really important because I feel like we have all understood that there's something going on in the earth. Everyone knows that there's deep darkness covering the earth, but the glory has risen upon us and that we're in a good season. But this is what he's saying. See the transition, understand what's happening, and then understand that I'm looking literally to give strong support to all of those whose hearts are fully mine in this season in order that they can bring a level, and I'm not just saying a level, but a level of pushback to what the enemy has done and is doing in order that my glory would be made manifest. You see, this whole thing right now, this whole season that we're in right now is an exciting time. It's an exciting time. But one of the things that's happened over the years is that the prophetic is in a massive place of transition on the earth. And what we're starting to see is that the prophetic that's saying, this is what the Lord is saying, is starting to feel a little bit, and I would say starting to get, I'm being very generous, but starting to feel a little bit wishy-washy. Yeah. Is it not? Your breakthrough is here. Are you serious? Is that really what the Lord is saying? Your breakthrough is that the word of the Lord from the prophets of the world? The highest ranking prophets, is that really what God is saying? Or is he giving his people strategy to be equipped to be able to bring pushback in one of the most significant transitions the world has ever seen? Which one? Because it can't be both. One is passive, the other one is active. And we are not a passive people. We are a people born for war. We are a people born to advance. The kingdom of God is forcefully advanced, and the violent will take it by force. And we are called to administrate in a spirit world that does not play games. Don't think that the principalities and powers are playing games. Oh, let's play a game. They're not playing games. They're playing for keeps. And we are designed to play for keeps. This game, this war that we are in, should bring joy to our hearts. Because we were predestined to be in it, and we are already victorious in Christ. So when it says that we wrestle against principalities and powers, the word wrestle in the original Greek is the word to bring into submission. We are designed and called to bring the principalities and powers into submission to the name of Jesus. And this is who we are, and this is the only way that we are going to see a manifestation according to the words that have been spoken over things. It's not just, let's wait and see what God does. It's not that. Now, I'm not saying that God isn't going to do things sovereignly too. But let me tell you this. We were talking about acceleration in the last day. We were talking about acceleration. And what's really funny is that gone are the days where somebody gets saved and then there's going to be 25 years of training, equipping. And when you feel like they're ready, they're going to come up at the front of the church. Someone's going to lay, no. We're not in that time anymore. We're not in that time anymore. We are in a time of such incredible, necessary acceleration that the Spirit of God is coming on people and they will outrun the chariot. That the Spirit of God is coming on people and they will start to access part of their scroll and part of their design right now because their hearts are fully his. And he's going, well, I can work with that. And we just some of us will have to deal with the big brother syndrome. Some of us will have to deal with other things. But we have to understand and we have to recognize, just like Wes was saying, he who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit's saying. You see, in this season right now, God is looking for, I believe that we are in a season right now where the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro. Looking. And he's going, oh, there's one. Angels, there. Sevenfold Spirit, there. Looking. Because this is a time where he is going to empower the remnant with the deeds of heaven with the assignments of heaven, with the mandates of heaven, to see such a dramatic shift on the earth. Where we've seen a dramatic shift of darkness, we are about to see a dramatic shift of light. And this is where we are right now. It says, deep darkness covers the earth, but the glory is risen upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is where we are right now. We at Field of Dreams are starting to see some of this happen. Now, I'm not saying in any way that we've got it all together. We're just on a journey, just like everywhere else. But one of the things that we have been in a place, and we've been so blessed I believe just really tap into the voice of the Lord in the season. And we've been so blessed to have an incredible team around us. But one of the things that has been marking us in this season, and I know it's the same with you, is no compromise over what the Lord is saying. When the Lord says it, we do it. Just like the Shema heart before the Lord. We understand, I may have spoken it last time, the Shema heart before the Lord is when Samuel says, speak Lord, for your servant is listening. Can they see me here if I stand there? When they say, speak Lord, for your servant is listening, the word listening there is the word Shema. Now this is Samuel 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 10. Says of Samuel, Eli says, go and lie down. And it says that Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Now it says that there was a Shema heart before the Lord. And it says, basically, Eli says to Samuel, go and say your servant, not is listening in the Hebraic. It's go and say to your servant, oh, you're very good. Speak, Lord, for your servant is Shema. That's what it says in the original Hebrew, is your servant is Shema. Now, what's really interesting is when Solomon asks for wisdom, really interesting in the book of Kings. Now, just leave that one up. When Solomon asks wisdom and he goes, how many of you would like a dream where God visits you in a dream and says, what do you want? Now, I would love to have said that I would like wisdom. And I'm sure Wes and Janet, you guys would have just, and many of you guys would have gone, well, yeah, I just really want wisdom to serve you. I've got many things in my heart, and I'm sure I would have asked one of those as well. But what's really interesting is this, that do you know what Solomon actually asks for? He asks for a Shema heart. That's what he asked for. He said, would you give me an understanding heart, which is the word Shema. Eli says to Samuel, go and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is Shema before you. The word Shema, wasn't going to say this today, but the word Shema means to hear and to obey. In Hebrew, the word to hear and obey are inseparable. So the Shema heart is the word to hear and the word to obey. So we see when Solomon then steps into the administration of kingship, he is hearing the wisdom of God and he is obedient to administrate what the Lord speaks to him. And it says that people could see the wisdom of Solomon when he, gives the judgment over the baby. And so what's really interesting is this, that in this season, we have to be in a place where our heart is Shema before the Lord, but it's the compromise. And I'm not saying this is probably for another, somebody that's going to watch this on live stream in maybe Bulgaria or something. But what's really interesting is that our hearts, when our hearts are fully His, what that looks like, it's reflected through levels of obedience that we allow Him to move us into. And this is really interesting because the bottom line is this, that when He needs to do an alignment, when He needs to do a shift, guess what happens? We have to, first of all, lay things a lot of the time on the altar. We actually have to give up, and I mean in the right way. And we have to say, okay, Lord, whatever this looks like, whatever this needs to look like for me, I'm all in. And I believe in this season on the earth, we need to be all in. When I was at the airport, I'm not very good with time frames, but let's say 6 years ago, I was at the airport in New South Wales, in Sydney, and I was going to go and meet a preacher. And I was they said, look, just fly down to Adelaide because I've got a prophetic word for you. And I remember I was standing at the plane, what do you call the ramp? You know where the door slides open? Oh, whatever. Gate. I'm at the gate. And I'm good one. And so I'm at the gate. And as I'm standing at the gate, a translucent being comes and stands beside me. Translucent. Now, I know that it was the Holy Spirit in bodily form. I've never seen Him like that before. I've seen many, many angels in my life. I know for a fact that the Holy Spirit came and stood beside me. And the Holy Spirit was standing beside me, and it was like liquid white fire. through his body. And he was just standing there. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. I'm just going down to meet a prophet who's going to give me a word. He said, if you fly down to Adelaide, I've got a word for you. And I thought it'd be nice to do a day trip anyway. You know, sometimes it's nice to just go and do a day trip. And I said to my wife, I really need to go. But I just thought I'd get a nice meal and hang out. I'm really into that. And so what was really cool. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit stands next to me. This is the word of the Lord for some people. So the Holy Spirit stands next to me. And he said, if you go through that gate, everything in your life will change. You have a choice. Now, I'm standing there going, now, just remember, I've just been in touch with a prophet. This is all that's happened. I've just been connecting via email. This prophet said, I'm in Adelaide. I've got a prophetic word for you. Now, this is interesting. He goes, why don't you fly down, have breakfast, and I'll give you the word. Now, I thought that was awesome. Why wouldn't you fly for a prophetic word? It's awesome. So for me, that's really all that's in my mind. I think that maybe something might be up, but I don't really have a lot more than that. So now the Holy Spirit is saying to me, if you cross that gate, if you go through that gate, everything in your life will change. And as soon as he says that, he takes me into a panoramic vision. And in the panoramic vision, it's like do you remember those widescreen TVs that came out? They didn't last for very long. I even had one. But they were kind of widescreen, but then they curved. Did anyone see those curved ones? So I had one. So it was like a curved widescreen TV and what ran up my face. And I saw myself. I just bought a beautiful apartment in Sydney, and it had a beautiful view, and like it was stunning. And I was like, wow. And then I suddenly saw my apartment while I'm standing just about to cross the gate. How many of you know God can do something in 3 seconds? Now, he gave me probably a 30-minute movie in 3 seconds. So I'm watching my beautiful apartment. So remember, he said everything in your life will change. And as soon as the word change has left the Holy Spirit's mouth, if that's how he speaks, I don't know if it came out of his mouth or I don't know how it worked, but it was within my spirit. As soon as the word change, the TV screen appeared, and now I'm seeing my new apartment. Then I'm seeing me walking to work. Then I'm seeing the church that I'm in. Then I'm seeing the friends that I hang out with. Then I'm seeing my wife and our plan to have a baby. We are 8 months pregnant. Maybe a tiny bit less. Like crazy. And so we're in a place right now, and I'm going, what is this? Or maybe we've just had the baby. I can't remember. But anyway, but the whole point is this. I'm going, everything in my life will change. And you know what it's like? You know, how many people are a bit happy-go-lucky with the Lord sometimes? Never had that before? You go, come on, whatever it looks like, come on, let's just do it, you know. And that was it. I didn't speak to my wife, didn't do anything. And I walked through the gate and I went down and I sat down at the breakfast with the prophet of the Lord. And he said to me, you know you're moving, don't you? Takes one to know one, you know. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, you already know. He goes, you're moving here. You're moving to Adelaide. And everything in your life's going to change. And I'm like, no! So I spoke to Todd, and, you know, it was the Lord. I had a dream that I was supposed to go and talk to this prophet. Didn't say that bit, but then he gave me this word. And then I ring my wife, and I said, Belle. She goes, don't worry, I'm already looking at houses. Because the woman knows. Women know, men. Come on. Way ahead of us. What's really interesting is my job changed. My location changed. I lost my apartment that I'd only just bought. All of that stuff. Well, you go, no, but did God lead you into buying that apartment? Yep. So you mean he just changed it? Yep. Didn't God love you being the associate pastor at that? Yep. Didn't God love the place where your children were going to go? Yep. But he said, do you want to align to a place that is going to fulfill more of your scroll? And you want to do it now. Basically, he was saying to me, if you do this, and I'm not going to give you the fullness of that because it's just not appropriate, but if you do this, you get the next part of your calling. You stay there, you don't get it. This is very important. So I ended up moving with Todd. Who am I with at the moment? Todd. What are we doing? Traveling the nations, bringing the word of the Lord. You see, this was part, regardless of COVID, this is our calling. And for many people in here right now, this is the word of the Lord for you today. The word of the Lord, and I'm sorry if you're not giving too many details about that, it's just a bit personal. But for many of you guys here, the word of the Lord is, are you ready? Are you ready to let go because everything's about to change? And it's not just changing for us individually. Everything's about to change in New Zealand. Everything's about to change in Australia. Everything's about to change throughout the islands of the Pacific Rim, because we are about to see a move of light. We are about to see a move of God. And God is going to empower any person that wants to start to move in it. Well, you might go, oh, well, how can you prove this? Like, what does it look like? Let me tell you this right now. We have been so much more significantly blessed than we ever have been before, because the Lord is showing himself and continues to show himself strong on our behalf. But it's only, I believe, because we chose to say yes to the transition. And I'm not just talking about a move from me to Adelaide. I'm talking about what it looked like last year in 2020. And I'm not saying we got everything right. Please don't hear what I don't think we're the best place in the world. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this, that when God asked questions, we just said, Lord, you alone know. Whatever it needs to look like, let's do it. And I want to encourage you in this right now. The Lord spoke to me. I end on this. The Lord spoke to me. And he said he wanted me to listen to a message by a guy called David Pawson. Now, I don't know if you know who he is, but he was one of my favorite Bible scholars years ago. Like, it wasn't... And I said, why do you want me to listen to this message? And he took me onto YouTube, you know how he does. And he said, just listen to this message. And it was called Preparing the Church for Persecution. And I was like, no. And I'm not that guy. I'm just like, oh my goodness. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, listen to the message. And the message was about it was partly to leaders, and the leader, David Pawson, was saying, if you lead a church, have you prepared them to walk in levels of persecution? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, it's not just about persecution, it's about a new dispensation of time where the rules have changed. Have we prepared the church to operate and live in a dispensation of time that does not look like it did in 2019? And it will never look like that again. Just like Wes alluded to earlier, it will never go back, but we have the power to keep travel bubbles open. We have the power to partner with God to see a move of God that was prophesied multiple times by multiple people, because before God does something, he announces it to us. And he is saying right now, get ready for the shift and the transition, because I am coming and you are going to see a move of my spirit like you've never seen before. And it starts here. It starts with us. I really believe it does. How many people believe that? Come on, let's give the Lord a shout. Come on. Come on. And so do we have any pads or just a single note or two that we can listen to? Rob, can you jump up and just do, and we're just going to do literally just 5 minutes ministry now. And I just want to encourage you, whatever this looks like, I've left it open. You can feel like it's a little bit open too, because we're literally, this is one message in four parts. And it's going to be four sessions, but it's one message. And so I'm so delighted to be able to partner with Todd and partner with you guys in seeing a transformational shift happen in New Zealand, in Australia, and in our own personal lives. So if everyone can stand up, that would be awesome. And then I'm going to get some of you to sit back down in a second. But I'm just going to pray for you all. Just get into a posture of receiving. And I'm just going to pray for you guys, first of all. Because he's saying, are you ready for the shift? Okay, so Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for each and every person that's decided to be here, that no one is here by coincidence, no one is here by accident. Holy Spirit, we know that you are here because you are inviting us into something that's possibly for some going to be the biggest thing we ever step into for such a time as this. And so right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that any words that were not from your heart would be just blown away as chaff right now. But everything that was from you, everything that was designed as the first part of a transitional two-day word, Father, we thank you right now that it will take root and it will produce the fruit that you predestined for it to produce. In the name of Jesus, I declare right now that we are all born standing here for such a time as this. And we thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that your desire is to equip and empower us for the times ahead, for the season ahead. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would eradicate any blockers that have restricted people from being able to have their eyes enlightened to see the new, their hearts enlightened to be able to taste the new, to be able to understand the new, just like Jonathan with the honey. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that there would be an awakening of eyes and ears right now in Jesus' name to know what the Spirit is saying in season. And just as we've already prayed, that people have given you permission, God, we just thank you that now would be a time of not just adjustment, but adjustment unto acceleration and fruitfulness. And so, Father, we give you permission for adjustments unto acceleration and fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Adjustments right now unto acceleration and fruitfulness. Adjustments right now unto acceleration and fruitfulness. And I right now, oh gosh, there it is. And I right now thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are lifting people up into places of governing that they never imagined they would govern from. And all you require is a heart that is fully yours. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are lifting up the ecclesia of New Zealand to govern and steward your kingdom for a move of God that we've never seen before. Father, we thank you for wisdom, understanding, the fear of the Lord, and might. And we just thank you right now that there will be an empowerment and a move of the realm of the Spirit. Even right now, that there will be places and levels of transformation in the hearts of every woman and man and child in this place that needs to be moved into a new posture, a new position to be able to receive from you, to be aligned to the new day and the new season on the earth that we are all living in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now, if you feel like this message about when I said everything changed spoke to you, if you say that when I said everything is going to change, I'm not talking about little things like, you know, maybe something's going to shift in my workplace. Where when I shared with you the story, everything is going to change, and that really spoke to you, that the Holy Spirit quickened it to you, I'd like you to stay on your feet and everyone else to sit down, please. It will only be for a handful. It's not going to be for everybody. And so if that spoke to you, just keep your hands up or put them in there. Wow, there it is. There it is right there. Wow, there it is. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for boldness and courage and confidence for the shift, for the transition. And we thank you right now that as you call us out onto the water, we thank you, God, that by faith we are walking on your word. Father, we thank you that we cannot move unless you speak. So we say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Your servants are Shema before you. We are listening. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy right now, geographic change in Jesus' name. People are going to move. You're going to move house. Right now, in the name of Jesus, some people here, you're going to move country. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, some people here, you're going to move jobs. That there are significant shifts, geographic and occupation are the main moves that happen in people's lives. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for grace for the shift in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that we don't need to do anything. We just need to receive the word. And so, Father, we thank you that the word brings with it transition. The word brings with it angels that work in relocation, angels that work in provision. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that it's not our will be done, it's your will be done, and your will comes with support. Support. Those people standing say, his will for my life comes with support. Father, I thank you that you are not leading anyone out to be on their own, but you're leading them out with the angelic armies. You're leading them out into spacious places with family. We thank you, God, that we are designed to take territory in family. And right now, I just want to say what an awesome privilege it is to be from Australia and to be here with my family. To take these territories, to take territory with family. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, just lastly as we land, we just lift up the islands right now in the name of Jesus. We lift up every island, the Cook Islands, Fiji, Samoa, Vanuatu, any place through the Pacific Rim. And we thank you right now for New Zealand. We thank you for Australia. And we thank you for the relationship between the two nations. We recognize that we cannot do it by ourselves. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we corporately say yes to the mandate to see your glory made manifest from here to the other ends of the earth, in the name of Jesus. And do you know something funny? Do you know where the ends of the earth is in the whole world? If it's here, is it here? Yeah. But do you know where the exact opposite of the end of the earth is? Ballycastle. The furthest point that you could get away is actually the west coast of Northern Ireland. From here. I'm talking about going that way now. You can't make that up. Let me tell you this right now, from one end of the earth to the other, the Lord is bringing us into a culmination of the times. And he's saying, are you ready to fulfill the divine design, mission and mandate that you were predestined to walk out while you were here? And the answer is what? Yes, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, let's give the Lord a shout. Come on. Let's give him a shout. Come on. Jesus! You are glorious, Lord. You are wonderful, God. We give you glory, honor, and praise in this place. And we thank you that your eyes, your sevenfold spirit, are empowering us in this season. Come on, in Jesus' name. God is so good, isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Wow, there's going to be quite a bit of processing there, isn't there? Quite a lot of processing. Could we just stand as we finish? And there's a lot to process. That's going to be very, very significant. They're going to be very. It's going to. Some people, you got from tonight onwards, you're going to start having some profound dreams, because God's going to speak to you and actually bring some specifics. And be open to that. Some profound things. So, Father, right now, we've heard your word, and Lord, we just want to be very much a people who embrace what you're leading us into and what you've transitioned us into. Give us the grace, Lord, to let go of everything that needs to be let go of. The old places of comfort where we could have stopped and we could have taken our ease and we could have stagnated. And gone moldy. The image I'm seeing, people stagnating. Initially it's just comfort, but eventually it becomes stagnation, and then it just goes moldy, decays. Father, we thank you. We're a people who want to keep moving with you. We keep moving. Give us the grace to let go of what needs to be let go of. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're meeting here at 7 o'clock. Is it 7 o'clock? Have we got 7 on the program?